life is all about compromise. Compromise is the best word in the English language. It's the most celebrated word. Compromise. We have to compromise. That's all we hear all the time. And of course, that is true in some situations that aren't related to clear issues regarding morality and so on and so forth. But compromise is also a bad word. Compromise is not always a positive thing. And when we hear the word compromise in politics, it always is in relation to Republicans compromising with Democrats, the right compromising with the left, good compromising with evil. And of course, good cannot, must not, should not ever compromise with evil. There is no compromise with evil. This is Drew Allen, your Millennial Minister of Truth. Good to be with you today. I want to weigh into Speaker Johnson. This is the reason I am bringing up the word compromise. I'm so sick of the word compromise. We need to talk about principle today. We need to discuss compromise and what that means. And we need to discuss, well, the very, very pathetic, sad state of the GOP. Again, I am reminded by Speaker Johnson, his obvious show of weakness, compromise. He has been compromised. By the way, we also use the word compromised. Yes, yes, we must compromise, but never be compromised. And of course, Speaker Johnson seems to be compromised, but I'll get into that because the reason I'm bringing this up, the reason I'm irritated, is because we are reminded once again just how strong the deep state is, just how unified the Uniparty is, just how much our politicians hate the American people, just how far we've come from the vision of the Founding Fathers, just how far we have departed from a constitutional republic, and just how sad it is at this time in American history that we, the people, have no opposition party that will look out for us. They compromise every time and bend the knee to the political bureaucrats who want what? Want what? Well, they want to reverse the Constitution. They view you and me as the servant and themselves as master, which is, of course, antithetical to the Constitution, which says that we, the people, are master and those in government are our servants. But they don't view it that way. And they have no shortage of excuses or justifications to destroy the Constitution. Now, I want to go through and just remind you what's happened here in the GOP. I want to weigh in at some point as we reach the conclusion of this episode about what we should do, how we should proceed. Should Mike Johnson be forced to vacate the Speaker's chair? Should we go through this rigmarole again? Is Mike Johnson the best we can do? This is something that we should weigh, because he may be the best we can do. And it shows a corruption that, of course, goes well beyond Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson is the tip of the iceberg. McCarthy was the tip of the iceberg. These people have very little power. Now, you can imagine for yourselves, and much of it may be true, but you can imagine for yourselves that perhaps Mike Johnson is compromised in the sense that they got to him. They have something on him. That the government is holding him, in fact, hostage to their will. But I just, you know, I look at this country, I look at what Mike Johnson did with FISA. I talked about it on my Saturday show on Patriot TV. But his 180 on the FISA stuff, warrantless searches of American citizens, was just a red line for me. And of course, every time, you know, when they abandon principle, oh, well, I just didn't realize this at the time. So that's why I want to talk about compromise and principle, because, you know, you have Rand Paul saying that Speaker Johnson, once he became Speaker, he abandoned his principle. And that seems to happen with people that get any amount of power in Washington, D.C. And I am going to tell you this directly. You know, this is what happens in Washington, D.C. And the way it's made up right now, unless there is wide-scale revolution, not violent, but revolution ideologically and everything else to restore American minds, to restore the American founding, to restore the big picture things that make this country great, unless we restore principle to this country, unwavering principle, devotion to principle, and right versus wrong, and our Constitution, well, this is going to keep happening. Because evidently, it doesn't matter who is elected speaker, and obviously the only person that can be elected speaker is inevitably going to be somebody who is going to cave to the deep state, to the uniparty, to the establishment that hates the American people, that lives to empower the bureaucracy and take away power from the American people. So we'll get into some of these things, some of the failures that Mike Johnson has racked up. And I'm also going to give you a rational perspective. That's why I didn't come out immediately and say, we got to get rid of Spike Mike Johnson. Let's go through this. I am the millennial minister of truth. I will give it to you accurately. I will tell you the truth, of course. But, you know, it was back on January 7th, 2023, last year, beginning of last year, that's when Mike McCarthy was elected Speaker of the House. And remember, it was epic, if you will. It took 15 ballots. That is 15 different votes for him to finally win the gavel. And he won it with 216 votes, and this happened after midnight. They got to the 14th ballot. That was like 10 p.m., and he didn't win. So they took it all the way to a 15th vote, a 15th ballot, and he finally was elected speaker after midnight. And he didn't last long, did he? Fast forward to fall, to October 5th, and that's when Speaker McCarthy was ousted in a vote that was 216 to 210. I mean, the same number of people that voted to put him in voted to oust him. And then we went 3 weeks or so without a speaker, and Mike Johnson ended up getting the gavel. Now, McCarthy was ousted principally because he caved on some budget stuff. He didn't keep his promises. And, you know, I'm no special pleader for McCarthy. But I guess my point is it's tough. I mean, you're talking about McCarthy versus Johnson. Well, Johnson is just McCarthy. My point is these people are all the same. And the only people, unless we take back Congress with conservatives and principled individuals, and we go about the doing the work of fixing Washington, D.C., I mean, but look, the only way you fix Washington, D.C., by the way, I know this is not something you want to hear, but it's filled with swamp creatures. Now, how do you drain the swamp? Yeah, you can send Donald Trump into Washington, D.C. He can do some of that, but he can't do it all, and he can't do it all in 4 years. You know how you clean out the swamp? Well, you have to run for office. You have to go and work in Washington, D.C., and not betray your principles like all these people do. You have to, and that's why I say we're in a spiritual war, too. You better get your Bible out, read it. You better bend the knee, get on your knees, pray to Jesus, swear allegiance to God, tell him he's first, vow to do everything in your power to you know, maintain those principles, to make sure that Jesus Christ is your king. I say this as a Christian, so this is my message, you know. But the reason I bring that up is because if that's not your compass, well, your compass is somewhere else. It's going elsewhere. Now, Jesus' message, by the way, was not one of compromise. There was no compromise. There was no compromise. No. He didn't say, you know, prostitute, you know, bang dudes 2 times a week instead of 4. You know, you can have a pass 4 times, but, you know, don't go 10 times a week, all right? I understand you need money. I understand this is how you pay the bills, but, you know, let's compromise on this. No, there was no compromise. There's no compromise at all with him. And in some things, there is no compromise. There is reality, but that's different. So anyway, you know, we have this situation. This is just random because I'm sitting here and I got my phone blowing up. I don't know if this is happening to you. I just constantly just get these calls blowing up my phone, and they're, you know, it's nothing. Drives me insane. It's more and more. Anyway, all right. So, you know, Mike Johnson, he promised, of course, to... Well, let me finish my point first. I was going to say to you, how do you drain the swamp? How do you clean it out? Well, men of principle have to replace men that aren't principled. Men and women of principle have to replace men and women who don't have principle. So that's how you do it. You're not really going to turn Eyepatch McCain into a man of principle. No, he's already bought and paid for. Raytheon's got him in the pocket. You know I'm talking about Eyepatch McCain, right? The Navy SEAL. I actually forgot his name right now. I haven't thought about him in a little while. I don't like the guy. He's not a good guy. He's a bully. He's arrogant. You see him go in these town halls and he rips apart, you know, 13-year-old girls. He's really a piece of work, a piece of garbage. But my point is, you know, and that's my thing. Okay, thank you for your service, Navy SEAL. I do appreciate that. That's quite an achievement. That's amazing. However, that doesn't permit you then to betray principle everywhere else just because you served your country. And a lot of people, by the way, use their military service to, you know, create a cocoon for themselves. You can't criticize me. Yeah, I made a mistake, but I served my country. Sorry, you don't get a free pass because you did that. Thank you, but now keep going. Anyway, Eyepatch McCain. What a stud, huh? What a stud. Not. Man, Texas, you know, this is the thing, too. Texas, a lot of these conservative states, they really don't give us their best. They really don't. We got all these conservative, so-called conservative states, red states, and we can't even get real conservatives out of these states. And this is why I say it once again. What's the problem? Well, we're not vetting people. We're just letting the corrupt GOP establishment choose our candidates, and then we go and deliver votes for them and put them in Washington, D.C., and then nothing changes. You have a situation like this. So anyway, Mike Johnson, he promised he was going to release the J6 footage, and he has not done that. That was also a promise McCarthy made. Now, the sum of the footage has been released, but there's something like 44,000 hours that were promised. Let's see. It's been November, December, January, February, March. We're in April. Well, Johnson's been Speaker of the House 5 or 6 months now, and he still hasn't done it. 5,000 hours maybe he's given us. I don't know what it is. But my point is, if you make a promise, is this where we are as Americans today? Our politicians, and look, I get it. Yeah, politicians, we know they lie. We know they go on the campaign trail and make promises they can't deliver. And I understand, you know, if you make a promise and then you don't have any kind of Congress that will help you secure that agenda, well, it is what it is. But in this case, Mike Johnson has the ability to release J6 footage, and he hasn't done it. So he didn't tell the truth. He didn't fulfill a promise. Make what you will of it. I told you the caving on FISA, that was the big one for me. Warrantless spying on American citizens. You know how this works, by the way, too. So the FBI, the main way they abuse this is they can spy on any foreigner, period. Whether they're in America or outside America. So we live in a society that is very global in the sense that you can hop on a plane. You know, a lot of people have friends that live in other countries. We're exposed to different cultures. We go on vacations, whatever, but we have friends elsewhere. Now, in particular, if you work in government in some capacity, or if you're some kind of reporter, well, of course you are interacting with foreigners, people who aren't Americans. And so the way they use this FISA thing is, well, they can spy on the person you've interacted with, and that through I'll call it a loophole, like the left likes to use the word loophole, but this is the permission they have. Basically, if you've interacted with somebody that's not American, well, then they can just expand that ring to include anyone, to spy on anybody that's interacted with that person. So that includes you. That includes reporters. That includes the Trump administration. So we live in a surveillance state. And I'm not willing to give up my freedom for this supposed safety. And by the way, why do we have to be worried about all these terrorist attacks? Why do we have to be worried about that? Let me point something out. You know, this is kind of the Saul Alinsky tactic. Create a problem and then present a solution that is meant to achieve your objectives. But you created the problem in the first place. So, for example, you've got people in Dearborn, Michigan, screaming death to America. That's right. They're not out having a hot dog on July 4th, waving the American flag. No, they're not present on that day. They choose to live in America. They choose even to become American citizens. They're immigrants from these other countries. They come here and they shout death to America. Why are these people in America to begin with? We have 10 million plus illegal immigrants that will have invaded the country at the invitation of the Biden administration by this November, who, by the way, are going to be used to steal the election. I'm not saying they'll succeed, but I'm saying 100% these illegals are going to vote for Democrats. I don't have time to get into it all this episode, but I've talked about it a little bit before. Evidence continues to present itself to confirm this more and more. So why do we have violence in America? Why do we have a need to spy on anybody in this country to begin with? Well, it's because we don't vet, for example, illegals. We don't enforce our laws at the border. We allow anybody, the trash can of the world, we are the trash can of the world, where people can just dump their rapists, dump their murderers, dump the people they don't want, the most violent, I'm sorry to say, the dumbest as well. Yeah, we're just the trash can. You just send it all to the United States of America, and we will fly you into some place. Just vote Democrat. We have Democrat policies, of course. They destroy the education system, which leads to crime because you have people who don't have opportunity. You have economic solutions that aren't solutions at all that the Democrats propose that also promote violence, homelessness, and on and on and on and on. It's all government that's the problem. So rather than actually address the root causes and implement policies that work, that lead to success, that eliminate crime, that create a bright, beautiful America that is full of moral human beings for the most part, as much as one can ensure that. Well, instead of doing that, they say, well, we just have to spy on Americans to keep you safe. Now, the government's the one who's responsible for creating the dumpster fire in America, creating these problems, getting these kids confused with gender theory, the trans stuff, ripping the Ten Commandments out of the classroom, teaching LGBTQ plus religion instead of Judeo-Christian values. All of this adds up. All of this adds up. You have people that are addicted to different drugs out there, antidepressants and so on and so forth. And so you have a civilization, a society that is crumbling. And so the Democrats did this, rhinos did this, and now that you have a dangerous situation in America, no, let's not secure the border, let's not deport these individuals, let's not use our government resources and taxation to clean up America, we're just going to spy on Americans and expand tyranny, expand the surveillance state. I don't want to live in a country like that. But we do live in a country like that, thanks to them. So anyway, so he caved on FISA. And of course, Mike Johnson said, well, you know, he came out and just like he said he was going to give us the J6 footage, he says, yeah, I'm gonna oppose this. I don't like this warrantless surveillance of American citizens. It's unconstitutional. And then he comes out and reverses, does a 180. Well, you know, I talked to the FBI. The same FBI that spied on Americans nearly 300,000 times improperly using this very FISA component. Oh, I talked to the FBI and they assure me that we have to have this to keep you safe. Principle. Our government cannot be allowed to spy on American citizens. I am sorry. It's like guns. Okay. You have someone who commits murder. You have someone who is responsible for a mass shooting. And so now you have to punish every American citizen. You have to, you know, suggest that every American citizen is a potential criminal and mass shooter because one person broke the law. This is insane. And of course, the FBI is so worthless anyway. You can go through the list of mass shootings over the last few years, and at least 50% of the time, you'll discover that the FBI was actually aware of this person and did nothing. So the FBI's got them on their radar, or they've been on their radar before. They've even interviewed the future murderer, and they just let him go. So what use is the FBI? So they're going to spy, and what are they spying on me for? Oh, Drew on the right, talking about the Constitution, talking about the Declaration of Independence. We got a spy on him. Unbelievable. Rewarding the government. And this is the thing, too. You know, Mike Johnson, you know, at the end of the day, Mike Johnson, too, and I talked about this again on the Patriot TV episode last week, but Mike Johnson, again, you know, he has constituents, American voters. So he answers to us. These are supposed to be our representatives in the House. They're elected to go to Washington, D.C. and represent us and do what we want. The American people are fed up with the FBI. And what does Mike Johnson do? Well, you Americans just aren't smart enough. You didn't sit in the meeting that I had with the FBI. You're not privileged enough to know what's really going on and why we need this. It's a secret, top secret. So I know that you don't want me to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway because I'm going to side with the intelligence community. The same intelligence community that lied to you about the Hunter Biden laptop. The same intelligence community that participated in the coup attempt against Trump. Well, I'm going to give them more power because despite their transgressions, despite all of their criminal activity, and the fact that there's been no repercussions for any of this, well, I'm going to give them more power anyway because they assure me that they need it. Incredible. And now you've got Ukraine. You know, I mean, look, the border's still wide open. Nothing's been done about that. Mike Johnson is not forcing that to be an issue. And he's going to propose three different spending bills that are going to then be combined and sent to the Senate for passage, almost like an omnibus. But, you know, it's going to fund Israel, one's going to fund Ukraine, one's going to fund Taiwan. And it's going to go to the Senate, and then we're just going to keep pouring money into all these other conflicts around the world. Now, Speaker Johnson said one thing to me that was quite alarming. It was a red flag for me. He said he was a wartime speaker. A wartime speaker. Now, you're not a wartime speaker, Speaker Johnson. Actually, let me say this. Speaker Johnson is, in fact, a wartime speaker, but not the way he means it. He means he's a wartime speaker like America's at war with Ukraine or, you know, in the Middle East or whatever. That's actually not true, but he is a wartime speaker in the sense that the American people are at war with the federal government, or rather, the federal government and the bureaucracy, the FBI, the surveillance state, they are at war with the American people. So he is a wartime speaker, but you see, again, he doesn't understand, and he's betrayed his constituents and the American people. He is now representing the government, not the American people. And this is what is happening in Washington, D.C. Again, Speaker Johnson is the tip of the iceberg. I would remind you that I made this point a while back. If you remember, you had Jim Jordan that put his hat in the ring to become speaker. And in a public vote, 25 GOP House members opposed him. But then, so they were willing to go on the record publicly and tell you, the American people, who actually largely wanted Johnson to be speaker, only 25 had the courage to show their names and faces to you. So then they held a secret ballot, and these GOP detractors multiplied suddenly. 112 GOP House members privately opposed Jim Jordan as speaker, which tells you what? There are 112 members of Congress, Republicans, not 25, who are consumed by the deep state, if you will, that are not looking out for their constituents. They are there to represent and empower the government, the uniparty, and ensure that its permanence reigns supreme. So that's what you should know, and I knew it when that happened. So in one sense, yeah, I'm upset with Speaker Johnson. I am. But he's the tip of the iceberg. You've got 112 people that obviously would do the same thing as Johnson, which is cave to the intelligence community, cave to the government. And this is a fundamental problem that has to be addressed at some point by the American people, and much of it is mental. If we start repeating this, if we start thinking this, if we start adopting this mentality, things will change in America. But these people are going to Washington, D.C., supposedly to represent their constituents. And once they get to Washington, D.C., they no longer view their role as representing their constituents. They view themselves as other. They view themselves as superior. They view themselves as part of the government, not the American people. That's what happens. They basically get recruited by the permanent government bureaucracy to stand up for whatever the uniparty wants, and they abandon their constituents. So, you know, look, he sent the impeachment articles finally over to the Senate, whoop-de-doo. Better late than never, I guess. And the Senate may or may not even, they may find a way to avoid even bringing that to trial in the Senate like you're supposed to do. I'm sure there's something carved out that'll help them, you know, protect Mayorkas in some way. Who's a traitor, by the way. I mean, it's not even debatable at this point. But I would remind you about something else that Speaker Johnson did. Just like McCarthy did, betraying the American people and the GOP and Republican voters by giving Joe Biden whatever he wanted on budgets and this and that. Well, you had Mike Johnson do the same thing. As a matter of fact, and look, the way they use these budgets in D.C., I mean, this has to be addressed and fixed. But they hold the American people hostage every single time. And this has to change. This has to change. But they intentionally don't do their jobs. You have 12 appropriations committees that are supposed to submit 12 individual budgets and vote on them that fund the different elements of the bureaucracy. And they never get their budgets in. And so they wait till the last minute and they use a government shutdown to force its passage so that you can't read what's in it, so they can get away with this corruption. It's unbelievable what they're doing. I mean, it's just in front of our faces, blatant every single day. But one of the things that Johnson did was he waived. So there's actually, you know, you have to pass the bill to learn what's in it. Remember, I think when Pelosi said that? Well, there's actually a rule that's been created that gives lawmakers 72 hours to read these bills. Still probably not enough time, but it's something. Well, Johnson waived that 72-hour rule that would give lawmakers time to read the bills so he could rush it through because he had a midnight deadline in the Senate. So he waived it. He allowed the government, he allowed the deep state, he allowed the uniparty, he allowed the Democrats to once again use the threat of a government shutdown to jam through these bills, this $1.2 trillion last-minute funding bill to avoid a government shutdown. And of course, Democrats got everything they wanted for the most part, and Republicans didn't get anything. And what they claimed to get wasn't anything good for the American people. And this is what happens every. And by the way, this funds the government through the end of the fiscal year. So that's September for the fiscal year, which means October is Trump and Biden will be campaigning as people will be preparing to make their decisions to cast their votes in the most important consequential election of our lifetimes and one of the most important elections in American history, a critical moment in American history, an actual turning point. Well, we're going to be talking about a budget deal again, because in October, they're going to get to the end of that month and say, oh, we got to pass a bill. So this funds through September. So then during an election year, we're going to be back in there arguing about another government shutdown during an election. That's what Mike Johnson did to the American people, and he knows it, and he knows it. So, look, I don't know. We have such a slim margin, and of course, there are other rhinos in there that would certainly look at another crisis situation where we don't have a speaker for the third time, and we've got to elect a speaker, and there's no leadership during an election year. I'm sure many more would look at that as an opportunity to resign and hand the House over to Hakeem Jeffries and the Democrats. So, you know, you just have to weigh the pros and cons. And if there's not somebody who's principled to replace Mike Johnson at this point, then we shouldn't vacate Mike Johnson. Because we didn't gain anything by getting rid of McCarthy. I'm sorry to say, I'm not a fan of McCarthy. But Mike Johnson has proven to himself to be exactly the same. And Rand Paul's right. He did seem to give up his principle. So the swamp came for him. They got him in an office. And whether they have blackmailed him or whatever they've said, he has decided that, you know, with his arrogant attitude now, he's a wartime speaker. I'm a wartime speaker. I mean, who put that in his head? That's not something he would have said in the past. I'm a wartime speaker. I mean, that is such a bureaucratic, uniparty thing to say. The arrogance. I'm a wartime speaker. You can't criticize me. You need me right now. I'm doing the best. I mean, this is how these people are. So apparently Speaker Mike Johnson has adopted that view. And he has made it clear that he represents Washington, D.C., not the American people. And so the question is, can we do better? I don't know that we can right now. And it's a numbers thing. You have at least 112 people in the House GOP, based on those that voted in secret, not to choose Jim Jordan as the speaker. That's not a number that can be overcome. So the point is, you have a ton of people in the House, GOP representatives, Republicans, who are just like McCarthy, who are just like Mike Johnson. They work for the government, not for you. So until that's addressed, until that's cleaned out, until you decide to run for office and maintain your principles, until we hold these people accountable and actually vote them out when they do this, unless we have long-term memories that last 2 years, because each of these terms is 2 years, then they run for re-election. If we don't hold them accountable and vote them out of office and replace them with principled people, we'll never solve this problem. All right, this is Drew Allen, your millennial minister of truth. God bless you all, and until next time.